Alright, it's a very special schus to be back together. Tonight's shir, for some of us, it's a little bit, it's bittersweet. We're in bittersweet. On one hand, it's the first shir, first time we're together after Yontiv has ended. We're already past all the beautiful Yom Tovim of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah. At the same time, there's a Ischachus, Parshas Bereishis, Sefer Bereishis, a new Torah, so it's a little bit of a bittersweet night. It's a little bit of a bittersweet night in that sense. But we have to understand, just as a Hakdama, an idea which I share often this time of the year, some of you have probably shared this with before, I believe if I'm not mistaken, wrote this up in the Sefer that's supposed to come out with last year, that everybody knows Shmini Aseres is kosher l'afridaschem. Everybody knows that the yont of Shmini Aseres, nothing really occurred on Shmini Aseres, no special mitzvah of Shmini Aseres. It's Ribbono Shel Olam telling us, after so many days together, it's hard for me to leave you. Don't leave me, stay one more day. But the obvious question is, what does one more day help? What does that last extra day help? It just prolongs the inevitable. And I always felt, and I'm sure I've shared this with some of you before, that the Teretz is, that's why we link to Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah is not a yontif that's found anywhere in the Torah. But we link Simchas Torah as if to say, with Torah, we're always connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The lingering taste of all of the Heilige Yom Tovim, the lingering taste of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, being surrounded by that Or Makif, is that I'm still connected to Hashem, how so, through Torah. When I'm learning Torah, I'm always connected to Hashem. I don't need a special shofar, a special sukkah, a special lulav, a special esrog. I have Torah. I have chachma lokis. And as I share all the time, the Tanya says in Perek Dalet, every time I learn Torah, I'm hugging Hashem. So it's a schus to be together. When we're learning Torah, there's no sadness, there's no kasha lefridaschem. We understand there is no period, there is no separation. So it's a schus to be together to learn the Heilige Torah. Tonight's Torah, I want to just give over the Torah tonight. Leila Nishmas, a very special woman. We've given Torah Leila Nishmas over the year. But tonight's a special night to give Torah Leila Nishmas. Chana Bela Ephra Bas Moshe, Barbara Goldsmith. A lot of the chev in the room on some level knows who that is. And it has some sort of kesher to one of her children, to Sammy and Mori, Jacob, to Kayla, to Gabi. Tonight, why tonight specifically? Mincha today was the last Kaddish that was said Leila Nishmas by her Heilige children. So tonight's a very special night. It's not to understand the last Kaddish is actually, even though to some that might be difficult, it feels like you're letting go a little bit. Not that any of us in this room should ever know from that, but we could somehow a little bit comprehend. But the idea of the last Kaddish is it's an assurance that the neshama, that individual is completely in Gan Eden, completely betanug of Dveikus LaHashem at this point. Meaning the idea of Kaddish is that perhaps every person ain't Tzadok Baruch Shelo Yechta, so every person needs a little bit of fixing, a little bit of purification up in the Olam HaEmes. But how much so? So the most anyone can have is up to a year. There's obviously it. Al pi Chazal, al pi Kabbalah, up to a year. But we say nobody, such a Russian, needs a full year. So most anyone we assume would need up to 11 months, and those are the 11 months of Kaddish. So when the Kaddish is over, it's a simon that we know, 100%, that individual is now in Gan Eden, hopefully was for a long time already. So it's a night that's actually, in a sense, I believe, very special. But special to learn Torah Leila Nishmasa, because when you learn Leila Nishmasa, so she has a chelek in that Torah and continue to rise in Olam HaEmes, should be Melech Yosher, Melitza Yosher for entire Mishpacha, for all Klai Yisrael. There was Zoycha to be together with B'yas Mashiach, Tchias Mason, B'mher V'yimeno. I want to start tonight with a Torah I said over many years ago. I don't think anyone in this room. I saw it originally in the Nesiv Shalom, the Slan Rebbe brings it down. It's based on a Torah from the Oiv Yisrael, the Apter Rav. You open up Sefer Bereishis, and so much really, Lemaisa, we could be here all night, all day tomorrow, for the next weeks, just discussing Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Bereishis. But we have a very strange pasuk in Rashi, in Chazal, very, very early on. In Perek Aleph, pasuk Yud Aleph. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Perek Aleph, pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayomer Elokim, Tatshei Oretz Desha, Esav Mazria Zera. Hashem says that the ground should sprout forth vegetation. There should be grass, there should be vegetation, there should be vegetables, eats priyos, the pri, let me know. And there should be trees that create fruits, each according to its own min. An apple tree, an orange tree, a peach tree. Asher zarabal, aretz, according to the seed that's in the ground. Vayichen, it was so. So there should be basically a commandment that there should be vegetation, there should be vegetables, there should be cucumbers and cabbage and grass and bushes and chesnut. And there should be trees, and there should be fruit trees specifically. Comes along Rashi, and Rashi tells us something very deep. Rashi says in the words, eitz pri, what does it mean, eitz pri? Oseh pri. Eitz pri, a tree of fruit that makes fruit. If you're very just technical in the language, a tree of fruit that makes fruit, what does that mean? Eitz pri, oseh pri. So comes along Rashi, yeah, more cherry, need more tea. And says, Shiye tam eitz ketam pri. A Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted that the taste of the tree, of the bark, should be like the tree itself. A Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted that, for example, if you went over to an apple tree and you took a bite out of the branch, it would taste like an apple. Imagine. I always picture a lot of the Chevra, I'm sure, saw. I never saw the newer one, but the old one. When I was a child, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I know they came out with the second one. I don't know how that one was, but I know in the first one, when all the children go into the chocolate factory, so everything's made out of chocolate, and they have trees, and you can take, like, you bite into the bark of the tree, and it's chocolate or candy. So, Mamish, that's... So, it wasn't chocolate or candy, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that the branch and the trunk of the tree would taste like the fruit. An orange tree, it wouldn't be just an orange taste like orange, but if you literally went over and took a bite out of the branch of the orange tree, it would taste like an orange. That's how it was supposed to be. That was the tzivoy. That would be eitz pri. Eitz pri, a tree of fruit. V'lo asa came, but the ground didn't listen. The ground disobeyed. The ground went forth and it made eitz oseh pri, as we see in the very next pasuk. It was a tree that makes fruits. It wasn't an eitz pri oseh pri. It was eitz oseh pri. It only made as we have them. So an apple tree has apples, but the bark itself doesn't taste good, I don't think. I've never tried. And an orange tree makes oranges, but the bark itself doesn't taste delicious. The tree, the ground disobeyed the Ribbono Shel'olam. And lefichach, therefore, kishiniskal al adam al avono nifkad agamiya al avono mitzkala. Therefore, we find that the ground is punished along with man. Very strange. Very, very strange. Why would the ground... What's going on here? Why would the ground, the earth, feel a need to disobey God? Now, me and you, we have taivas, we have temptations. We're lazy, we're made up of a goof, we're made up of a body that desires all different things, keneged ratzon Hashem. So we're pulled by Yetzirah, and sometimes, unfortunately, we don't listen to the Ribbono Shel'olam, lo aleinu. But the Haaretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Haaretz, make a tree that tastes like the fruit, it's not going to obey the Ribbono Shel'olam. And then also, what's Rashi telling us then? And therefore it's punished when man was punished. What's the connection? What's that have anything to do with man being punished? Man, we know, a few pesukim later, is going to sin also, and going to eat from the Eitz HaDaas, which it was told not to. Shkoyach. Okay, man messed up. What does that have anything to do with the tree messing up? So Ayav Yisrael says a very deep idea. I once spoke about this and took it in a whole different place. We're not going to right now. If Chevra wants to stay around longer, we'll talk about a different Yisrael from this. But the Ayav Yisrael says as follows. You see, the land is Aretz. Aretz comes from the shores of Ratzon. It only does Ratzon Hashem. And the land understood that the deepest Ratzon Hashem was that the land should disobey God. Why so? Why would the land understand that the Ratzon of Hashem is that it commanded the land in order that the land should disobey Hashem? Why would that be? It doesn't make any sense. So the land understood, what's going to come from the land? What's going to come forth from the land? Adam. Adam in Adama. And it was inevitable, it was part of what's going to be, that man was going to sin. Now the whole purpose of all of creation was for man. And comes along this man, and this man right away, a few hours after it's created, is going to sin, going to disobey God. It could have caused the entire destruction of the whole world. The whole purpose of the world should have been overturned. Forget it, it's all not worth it. The whole thing could have been chucked out the window. Tohu vavohu, back to tohu vavohu. Yachzor zol tohu vavohu. Because how could it be? Moments after you're created, you're going to sin, you're going to spit in God's face, not listen to the one commandment I ask you to do. It must be there's such a pagam in this man, there's such a chisaron, there's so much lacking. Forget it, the whole plan could be thrown out the window. So what did land do? It created a loophole for the Ribbono Shel Olam in a certain sense. How so? Land sinned. Land disobeyed God and didn't listen to this commandment because it understood the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted that. How so? Because now when we sin, when Adam HaRishon sinned, he has a little bit of an alibi. He has a little bit of an excuse. Say, it's not my fault. You created me, God, from the Adama. The Adama already sinned. It was ingrained in me to sin. I have it. It's part of my blood. It's part of my makeup. Oh, I hear that. You're not really that bad. Okay, we'll let it continue. We'll see if there's opportunity for tshuva. We'll see if there's opportunity to fix. You see, because each and every one of us is made out of a guf and a neshama, and with this alibi that the Adama created by disobeying the commandment given to it, we can say, okay, it was our guf that's flawed, but the neshama is purely pure still, completely pure. And the Ribbono Shel Olam will be able to be makabel that and allow the existence of man to continue. Okay, with a little bit of a change of the structure of the world, we're thrown out of Gan Eden, and things have to change up a little bit. Until today, we're still trying to be attacking that sin. But at least we're still here. And that's the way the Ovi Yisrael explains the Chet of Adama. That's a very deep idea. There's a lot we could talk about here. Maybe that's as well, Pshat, he says, in Parashat Bechukosai. In Parashat Bechukosai, a very famous pasuk, you all know. At the end of the Toichacha, after all the klalos, after all that the Eibishter tells us can happen to us if we don't listen to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Ribbono Shel Olam, by the way, don't think I'm not going to remember all the promises I gave to you. It's all going to be good eventually. Don't worry, don't think I'm going to ever leave you for good. And the very famous pasuk, we know it because we daven it all the time, V'zecharti es b'risi Yaakov, V'af es b'risi Yitzchak, V'af es b'risi Avram Eskar. Right? The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'm going to remember the bris that I promised Avram Yisrael Yaakov. There's going to be Gula and they're going to keep its Golios, and it's all going to be good eventually. So don't ever get too down, even when times are difficult. When times are hard. Don't ever get too down. And then we say a few words. You ever think about these words? You all know the next few words that I didn't quote yet. What's the next couple words of the pasuk? You ever think about those words? What is that doing there? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and I will remember the bris to Yaakov, bris to Yitzchak, the bris to Avram, and I'll remember the ground. You ever think about it before? Va'aretz Eskar, what's the Ribbono Shel Olam saying? But now we can understand, at the end of the Tohocha, after the Ribbono Shel Olam says, well, I'm going to have to bring all these klalos and all these oinchim because of all the bad you did. But don't worry. I'm never going to leave you completely. There's always going to be an out. Ve'aretz Eskar. Besides for all the promises I gave to the Avos, by the way, also ve'aretz Eskar. I'll remember you come from the Aretz. Meaning, I'll remember the sin of the Aretz. I'll remember that it already was ingrained in you. That you have a little bit of an out. So I'm never going to completely forget you. I always will forgive. va'aret eskar. And that's as well what we say when we say Avinu Malkeinu Zachar Ki Ofer Anachnu. What were we saying when we said throughout the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, throughout Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Avinu Malkeinu Zachar Ki Ofer Anachnu. Rabbanu Shel Olam, remember we're Ofer. What do you mean? That we're Min HaOfer, we're Min HaAdamer, we're Min HaAretz. Don't forget that. Don't forget that, Rabbanu Shel Olam. So we have a little bit of an out from this sin, this seemingly very strange disobedience of the land. We owe our existence to the chet of the Adama. As that's maybe pshat as well in two other ideas. In Parshas Kedoshim, so we find the pasuk says, when teaching about the mitzvah of Arla, that we're not allowed to eat the fruits of the tree the first 3 years. When you come into the land, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, unitatem kol eitz machal, and you plant kol eitz machal, all of the tree that you eat. The word kol is superfluous, is strange. It doesn't make any sense. The pasuk just said v'chisavo el aretz, when you come into the land, unitatem eitz machal, and you plant a tree that you eat from. What's kol eitz machal? All of the tree? So here too, based on Nevi Yisrael, we understand that the idea eventually is to come into the land and plant where kol eitz machal, where you're metakein and come back to how it should be, where the entire eitz is edible. That's the way it's supposed to be. We only needed it this way, that the tree should what? Disobey God and only make fruits that are edible to give us out. But when we're metaking that chet of eight adas, when we finally ultimately enter into Eretz Yisrael b'mehera b'yameinu, it should be kol eight machal. It should be no longer do we need that out. So the whole tree is edible. And this is as well in Parshas Shoftim. We understand there's an iser, as you all know, to cut down fruit trees. What's pshat in this iser to cut down fruit trees? The Zakar Zatov we have to a fruit tree. When you see a fruit tree, we should go over and give it a kiss. Thank you. Because of you, I'm here. There's such a concept of giving Zakar Zatov even to inanimate objects, right? We see this in the beginning of Parsha Shemos, where we all know very famously in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yutes, Vayomer Shema Moshe, Omer Larum Kach Matkan Teyotchel Mamei Mitzrayim. When it came to Dam, when it came to Tzvardeya, Moshe didn't carry out those makos, Aaron did. And Rashi tells us why. We all know this, very famous. Because the waters watched over, protected Moshe when he was born, and his mother Yocheved put him into the waters. He can't hit the water. He has to have a karza tov to that water. He has a karza tov for the water. It's water. It's not alive. It didn't know what it was doing. You have to show a karza tov, appreciation for everything and anything that's there for you. So you're going to go and cut down a fruit tree? It's awesome. The pasuk tells us in Shoftim to cut down a fruit tree. How can you cut down a fruit tree? We're only here because of a fruit tree. I'm telling you, we should tomorrow find the fruit tree and give a big kiss. Say thank you. Give a big hug. Mr. Mark, David Mark, he's got fruit trees. I don't know. He's got everything. He's got a whole farm. He's got chickens. You can go over there. You find, I'm sure he has fruit trees that are still. Go and you give a big hug and kiss. Thank you. We owe our entire existence to the hail of the fruit trees. But let's take this somewhere deeper. This is just achana. This is achana. So comes along with Tzvi Elimelech Blozhever, the Halakh Tzvila Tzadik. And the Tzvila Tzadik, when he learns this pasuk in the beginning of Bereishis, he actually explains that there are actually two Tzivuyim. There are two commandments to the ground that occur in this pasuk. The second commandment, which was disobeyed for our own good, Lishma, was that the tree, the bark of the tree, and the branch of the tree should be taste like the fruit itself. That was the second commandment. But if you open up a chulin, and daf samach amar aleph, you'll find that it gives a second sivoy that was given. But this sivoy is not explicit. It's learnt out from a kal v'chomer. In this pasuk, when it's said, Tachayar Desh Asaf Azrezera, I'll eat Priyosapri, let me know. So one of what it means, eight priyas of pri limino, means every fruit tree, every tree was told it should only grow limino. Meaning an orange tree should only give forth oranges and never give forth apples. Right? And an apple tree should always give apples and never oranges. And a peach tree should only give peaches. Everything should be limino. There should be no erbuvia, no mixtures within a tree. That's what's told to the fruit trees. The ground made a kal v'chomer. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Samach Aleph on the bottom. B'shoah Shamar Kodesh Baruch Hu Limineo Bilanos. When a Kodesh Baruch Hu said to the trees, only grow according to your own species. Nasu Dishoim, the vegetation, made a kal v'chomer ba'atvam. Imritzon Hashem Kodesh Baruch Hu Beravuvya. If Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted things to be mixtures, Lama Armer Limineo Bilanos. Why would he say the trees should only be one type? Obviously, he wants that there shouldn't be any mixtures. So, cucumber bushes will only give forth cucumbers and not give forth the zucchinis. The old kavachomer, a tree which is derech is to stay only one type. It's separated more so it should be only one type. Still, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Lemineu. Kodesh Baruch Hu said they should each be their own species. He felt the need to. Anu, we who grow on the ground and are much more the derech to be intermersed and mixed up. So comes along vegetation. So besides for the sivoy, that each tree, the bark and the trunk should taste like the fruit, the first sivoy is a kal v'chomer. There's a kal v'chomer learnt out. And the kal v'chomer learnt out is that the vegetation learnt the kal v'chomer that it should stay according to its species. Now, why was that necessary before we develop this? Stay with me, we've got to develop something very deep tonight. Why was it necessary to learn that from a kal v'chomer? So I saw from the Bnei Yisachar in Igra D'Chal, he says as follows. He says, this is the first source in the whole Torah of Parnassah, of our sustenance, of our food. The first discussion of food, which is all of our gashmias, all of our physical makeup. So the Magid Memezrich, Rav Dov Berry, explains, and I'm sure we've discussed this here before, that the Yud Gimel Midrash that Torah Nidrashas Behem, that we say every morning, Rav Shmuel Omer, the 13 ways that we could darshan the Torah, are connected to 13 Yud Gimel Midrash Harachamim. Not to get into all of them now, but the first one is Kal V'chomer. And Kal V'chomer is connected Kel. Hashem Hashem, Kel Rachim Chana, Kel. Kel is Kal V'chomer. The first of the Midos HaRachamim represents tremendous chesed from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we want that our sustenance should be learned out from Kal V'chomer, which is connected Kel, to show that our Parnosa, our Shef, our Gashmi should all be with chesed from the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's one idea. But let's understand this in a deeper way. We have to understand as follows. If the ground felt the need, if the ground felt the need to darshan a kal v'chomer of what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from it, the ground felt the need to darshan kal v'chomer and say, it must be that Hashem wants us in our vegetation to only be limino. If it felt the need to go, which is going above and beyond what was explicitly said to it, surely it's going to follow what's explicitly said to it. Have a raya gemura that when it disobeyed God, it was doing it lishma. When it disobeyed God, it was for a higher purpose and a higher realm and what the Ribbono Shel Olam really wanted. What was really Ratzon Hashem. Because if it's going to darshan kal v'chomer to come up on its own, vade! What's explicit, it's going to follow. It must be this is the ultimate Ratzon Hashem. And that Ratzon Hashem was to disobey Hashem, to be able that we have our existence. And this is what we can understand in Koheles as we laned last Shabbos Kodesh. Toiv achris dava merishiso. The later is better than the first. Meaning what? Disobeying Hashem was the greater act than the kal v'chomer to follow Hashem. Because it takes much more the following of Ratzon Hashem and a deeper understanding of what Hashem wants from it. Toiv achris dava merishiso. If you take gematria, achris dava, the later act, the later thing, is gematria 825. Exactly, gematria 8 osepri.
That's the Achrus Dover.
The Achrus Dover, exactly Gematria Eitzos Pri. The Achrus Dover, that it was only made the fruit and not the bark itself, was greater than the Reishis. You hear, Chevra? We're just getting started. You following? A lot of deeper machshavos tonight, but follow. Ariel, you came back. We got to share deep Torah. So let's understand Vayeter. Is there another way to understand why it was necessary that the first Sivoy was learned through a Kal V'Chomer? Very strange. Why was that necessary? So we already said from the Bnei Yisachar to teach me and to hopefully instill that all of our Parnassah should be by Rachamim. So we already said one way why it was by Kal V'Chomer, right? But let's understand a little bit deeper. Why is it? Why was it that the first Sivoy to the ground, to the world, this Sivoy is learned from a Kal V'Chomer, and then the second Sivoy is disobeyed? But why is the first a Kal V'Chomer? So listen as follows. I want to share a Gemara that you all know. A Gemara that we've spoken much about. But I want to be medayik in a way that we haven't been medayik before. At least I haven't here. It's Yisachar Doiv's here tonight for this Gemara. And maybe Yavin, those will understand what I'm saying. The Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Amud Beis. Kach Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Amar Lam Yisrael. Bini Barasi Eitzahara Barasi Le Torah Tavlin. Hamev and Yavin have seen the film in the schus of Yisachar Doiv and schus of Rafi, the chos and Rafi Margolis, Chassan Dinan, who became a chos tonight. Schus to be able to dance with him and to celebrate in the simcha. I'm sure you were there, Yisachar Doiv, but I missed you there. I know we were there at different times. But so some of the chaver remembers the film we put together a few years ago. Barasi Yitzar, Barasi Torah Tavlin. But we all know the words. And if you don't know it from the Gemara here in Kedushin, you know it from the Halakha Mesil Shasharim. Hopefully you know it from the Gemara in Kedushin. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Barasi Yitzhara, I created Yitzhara, and I created Torah as the Tavlin. Torah is the Tavlin, Torah is the drug, the antidote to the Yitzhara. But if we read the next line, we understand this a little deeper. What that means exactly, and how so. Listen closely, Chavra. Because we've quoted this Gemara many times in different contexts, in different ways, but we've never gone on to the next line. V'im atem oskim b'torah. If your mom is osek b'torah, ein atem nimsorim b'yado. You're not given over to the hand of the Yetzirah. So we can't end the Gemara, Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Torah Tavlim. At that point, there's one understanding. There's a Yetzirah and there's an antidote to the Yetzirah. But the very next line is, let me explain what that means. It means it's not just learning Torah that helps us connect the Torah. It's being oisek b'Torah. You know what it means to be oisek b'Torah? It means to delve into it. To put in amelus, to put in yegila, to put in hard work, to put in effort. Not just, shkoyach, I have my hour dafyomi today, and I went to a dafyomi shir on the train. It's beautiful. My father gives dafyomi on the train. It's an amazing schus, kiddush Hashem shein kamo, and the yidden that go on the train and use that time to learn, mamash, we should all be asking brachos from such yidden. That being said, that can't be all of our, that's only the part of the learning. Meaning what? Are we moiser nefesh? That also could be mesiras nefesh. Are we putting in and working hard and learning and struggling over the Gemara and mamish being oisek b'toira? Being oisek b'Torah, working hard on learning, putting in hours, putting in time, late nights, early mornings. Being oisek b'Torah. V'matam oiskim b'Torah. Ein atam nimsarim b'yado. You'll never be giving over to Yetzirah. So I believe the Gemara is telling us two things about understanding what it means Torah Tavlin. First and foremost, it's telling us, you know what type of Torah is Tavlin? It's when you're oisek b'Torah. It's when you really put an effort in the Mesiras Nefesh in the Torah. And secondly, it's telling us that this isn't just stam medication. It's preventative medication. It's not post facto. If you fall and pray to the Yetzara, what's then? What do you do when you get sick? Take this medication, you'll be better. What do you do if you mess up and you're a Baal Taiva and you don't have Shemir Sinayim and you're lazy and you're not going to Minyan and you're not doing, go and learn Torah and it'll be the fix. That's not what it's saying. It's saying this is preventative medication. You'll never fall prey to the Yetzara. If you sit and learn Torah, it will prevent the Yetzara from getting to you to begin with. So we have to understand. We have to understand, Chevra, the Koyach HaTorah. As we open up the new Torah, we open up Sefer Bereishis. We have to understand what Torah does for us. And not just Dam Torah. It has to be specifically Mamish steiging in Torah, Melus B'Torah, being Oisek B'Torah. You can't just be sitting back listening to a shir. That's beautiful and wonderful, and there's a lot of chusim in that. But it has to be that I'm Oisek it, I'm working hard over it, I'm putting in effort over it. And it has to be more than that. It has to be Torah Shabbat Peh. We all learn beautiful things. And there's nothing wrong with that. Mashaliba Chafetz. And we spend time in Chassidus, and spend time in Musar, and spend time in Halacha, and spend time in Chumash, and Bereishis, and... But we have to be steiging in Gemara, steiging in Torah B'Dal Peh. That's the only place where Oisek B'Torah in a real way. Oisek with Amelus. Amelus is in Torah Shabbat Peh. Where do we see that? Have a riot? Beferish Medrash Tanchuma. We all know the famous Gemara in Shabbos, Peches Amad Aleph. Shabbos, Peches Amad Aleph tells us, Kofel Amaki Gigis. Hashem El mounted on top of us. Va'amar Alem and said to Bnei Yisrael, Matem Lekabel Matorah Mutov. If you accept the Torah, great. Vim Lav, Shom Teik Vurashem. If not, there's going to be your burial. Matem Lekabel Matorah Mutov, Vim Lav, Shom Teik Vurashem. So there Tosfos asks, but the Medrash Tanchuma in Noyach Ois Gimel asks as well. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu is forcing us to accept the Torah and Torah Shabbiksav. V'lo mishah sharmalam mekamul atem as the Torah anu kulam v'mer nasa v'nishma. What do you mean we're forced to accept the Torah? We all said nasa v'nishma immediately. We wanted it. We were good with it. Why did we say nasa v'nishma immediately and Torah Shabbiksav? There's no effort, there's no pain, it's not difficult. Vimat, and it's also not so large. El Amr Lehen al Torah Peh. Kofel and Hargigigis is on Torah Shabbat Peh. Sheyesh Badik Tukim Mitzvahs Kalas Vechamuris Vyaza Kamavis Vekasha Kishol Kinasa. It's difficult, it's hard, it's detailed, it's Aramaic, there's no punctuation. It's very difficult. It's very hard. There's nothing harder. There's no harder chachma in the world. I'm reading you Medrash Tanchuma. It's not a Musar Sefer. It is tremendous Musar, but it's Medrash Tanchuma. The only ones who learn this are people who truly love Hashem with all their heart and all their soul and all their money. Because why else would I put myself through it? It's so hard. It's so difficult. It takes a lot of amelus. It takes a lot of yigiyah. It takes a lot of oisik. Oisik, but that needed kafal and hagigis, the Medrash Tanchuma says. Can we talk about, in the Gemara and Kedushin, what is the Torah that's going to save us? What's the preventative medicine? Im atem oiskim betorah. Im your oising betorah. That means Torah Shabbat Peh. It means we're seriously studying Torah Shabbat Peh in a serious way. By the way, what's the very next line in Gemara? Vim ein atem oiskim betorah. If you're not oiskim betorah, if you don't put in the effort in Torah, not that you don't learn Torah, you might learn it, but you're not oiskim betorah. You're not steiging in Gemara. Nimsarim biyato, you're given over to the Yetzer. Very scary. It takes a lot of amelus. The Satan, the Sam-El, the Yetzer is known as the Sam-El. Sam-El can be Rosh Yetevos, Samach Mesechtos Ein Lomod. Sam-El, Samach Mesechtos Ein Lomod. Don't learn the 60 Mesechtos. The Medrash in Midrash Rabbah tells us there are 60 Mesechtos. Samach Mesechtos Ein Lomot. Don't learn that, because the Yitzhar wants to get to us. Don't learn Mesechtos. Samach Mesechtos Ein Lomot. Samel. You hear? So what do we need to do? We need to be steiging in the Gemara. We need to be Oisik B'Torah. Every single one of us. The Medrash Tanchuma, it goes on in Noach Gimel. Just read you some parts of it from before, from afterwards. El Shalotimatze Torah Shvapeh Eitzom Mishivakish Oneg Olam. You don't find Torah Shvapeh by people who want to get pleasure in this world. Taiva V'Kavod Gdola El Mishamemet Atzmolah. It's hard. You have to kill yourself over it. It takes a lot of sacrifice to learn Gemara, to really learn Gemara. Kol Misha Oiv Osher V'Tanug. Anyone who loves wealth and pleasure, and Yochel Lo Matorish V'Peh Sheish Batzar Gadol V'Nidut Sheina. It's sleepless nights. It's pain, no gain. Lefichach, therefore, Matan Tzchor L'Olam Haba. It's tremendous reward in the next world because of all that hard work. Chaver, I want to tell everybody here something. And it's something I've said before, but I can't. I should be talking about this every week, I think. Especially to Chaver in this room, which is still at a beautiful age, where you're still so much so indebted to Torah and mitzvos, and have a lot of your day to be able to steig in Torah. I see from my seat, Baruch Hashem, many, many Talmidim. Beautiful Talmidim. And beautiful Talmidim that go to Eretz Yisrael and sit and learn in yeshiva, whatever the yeshiva is, Karen B'Yavne, Shalavim, the Tivari, Yerushalayim, whatever the yeshiva might be, and grow tremendously in Avodah Hashem, in Limud HaTorah, and then continue that, and continue, and go on, whether it's to YU, whether it's to Eretz Yisrael, whether it's to Landers, whether eventually, wherever they are, and continue to learn, and continue to grow. But you have no idea how many Talmidim I see, and it's so sad for me as a Rebbe. I love them all dearly. But then, a few years later than that, they're married, they have children, and they're going to Minyan, and they're wearing a yarmulke, and their wives are covering their hair. But how many, when I meet them, and see them at a simcha, and ask them, what are you learning these days? I went to a shir last week. Best case scenario, I go to a daf yomi. And again, not to knock, that's beautiful, that's wonderful. But that's your whole limud haTorah. Where's the Eisik b'Torah? Where's the Eisik b'Torah that I'm not nimtzer b'yado, the b'yad yetzahara? But so many, I'm talking guys that were mamish steiging 4 or 5 years, and suddenly are not learning at all. Are not learning on. They're shomer Shabbos, they're shomer Kashrus, but they're not learning Torah. And trust me, when you're not learning Torah, it has such an effect on all of your avodas Hashem, and such an effect on all that you are, and where your lev is, in your mitzvos, in your bias, where the kedushas and shmiras anayim is, it has an effect on everything, because your nimsar biyad yitzara, if you're not osik petorah, as the Gemara tells us, I'm just telling you the Gemara. Why does that happen? Why is that not going to be me? Why does that happen? A guy that sat and learned in top yeshivas 3, 4, 5, 6 years, because as much as they learned, they never were oisik b'Torah. What do I mean they never were oisik b'Torah? They never were meisik nefesh b'Torah. They never put their heart and soul into the Torah. They did it because it was conducive and was all in the proper hours and the proper time. It was all on a spoon fed to them. So my day was structured, and I have my chavrusa set up. I have my shir set up, and I have no other distractions. I'm able to do it. But were they learning ben astarim? Were they learning late nights? Were they putting in tremendous yigiyas petora, amelus petora? No, I did what I had to do. I kept the hours I was supposed to be keeping. And Amel's B'Torah is in time. Amel's B'Torah is also an effort. When I'm sitting there, how much of my heart and soul am I putting into the Gemara? Struggling over the Gemara. Or every second I get to one word I don't understand, I run to Art Scroll. One word I don't understand, I run to Art Scroll. That's nice and easy, and I can read through my Art Scroll like I'm reading a book. And I flip through the pages, and I made a CM, and I made another CM because I flipped through the pages. And that's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. There's chus and that's limud haTorah, but there's that asik b'Torah, that mesiras nefesh. So the moment that I left the world where it was so conducive, the moment where it's not so set up, it's not so simple, because I don't have my shir set up for me, I don't have my chavrusa set up for me, I have to go out of my way to. I have a job, I have to earn a parnasa, which is a chiv, to support your family, and I have to go into the office for 10, 12, 14 hours a day, and I have to spend time with my wife, and I have to spend time with my children. So if I want to still be a Ben Torah, it means I have to wake up 5 o'clock in the morning to learn from 5 to 7. Or after I'm spending time home at night, I'm going to have to wake up for 6 o'clock minyan, but still at 10:30 at night, I'm going to go out to learn till 12, till 12:30. That's Mesiras Nefesh. That's really hard. I want to chill after a day that was very difficult and long. I want to just sit back and relax. I want to maybe read some nice book that's just easy and nice. What's going to be? Why am I going to have Mesiras Nefesh? Because only if I train myself when I'm young in Mesiras Nefesh. Only when I'm young, I'm putting in extra hours. And when I'm learning, I'm putting my heart and soul into it. I'm oisik b'Torah ein nimsar b'yado. Okay, what's this have anything to do with what we were talking about? The very first sivoy, therefore, to the earth had to be a kal v'chomer. The very first sivoy, now we can understand. Why couldn't it be explicit? Why did it have to be kal v'chomer? Because kal v'chomer is Torah shval peh. As if to say, that whole pasuk is protecting mankind. The second half is saying, if we are nichshal, the land will come and save us by disobeying God and giving us our out. But halavai, we don't want the out. So how do we make sure that we don't need the out? The first part of the pasuk, the first siva is kal v'chomer. As if to say, you want to know what the preventative medicine is? You want to know and make sure you don't need the out? You don't need, this is what the land is doing for us? The preventative medicine, be oisik b'Torah, amelus b'Torah. Amelus b'Torah is the key. Chevra, mamish, you don't understand. I see it and it's so sad. Ben Torah after Ben Torah that mamish went through in years of sitting and learning and loving it. And now we're not even learning. Not even learning Mishnayos. Not even learning a Masechta. Not being oisik b'Torah. Shem Yirachim. So you have to learn what Mesiras Nefesh is now. You have to learn what it is to be Oisik B'Torah now. And this is the first sivoy to all of the entire world in a certain sense. Kal v'chomer, Torah shebal peh. That will ensure that Ein Nimsarim B'Yad Yetzahara. The emphasis, I think you could say as well, that that's why we can understand in a certain sense Perek Beis, Pasuk Dalet, we're very famous, the Rashi on the Pasuk, Eila told us, HaShemayim V'aretz B'hibaram. These are the, I don't know how you told us here, doesn't really mean offspring, or these are the products of Shemayim V'aretz B'hibaram. B'hibaram, when they were created. So Rashi there tells us, a very famous Rashi, B'hibaram. Rashi tells us, B'hibaram. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with the letter Hey. He created Behei Baram. And Rashi brings down Remez Kamosha Hey Psucha Lamata Kach Olam Pasuch L'Shavim B'Tshuva. That why is the Hey the letter that creates the world? The Hey is very open on the bottom. It's very easy to fall. But you could climb back in and do Tshuva and come back in the top. And Tshuva was necessary before the creation of the world to give us an out. Again, to help us so that we can be Mitakim when we mess up. But that's only after the fact. Tshuva is after the fact. What about, what's the foundation so that we never fall in? What's the foundation we never fall in? So I said this Torah the other night. I don't remember where I saw it. But what can we see in the letter Hey? There are 4 gematrias of the letter Hey. How are there 4 gematrias of the letter Hey? Hey is 5, that you all know. But Hey could be spelled out Hey Yud, it's 15. Hey could be spelled out Hey Aleph, it's 6. Hey could be spelled out Hey Hey, it's 10. If you add up 10, plus 6, plus 15, plus 5, is 36. Al pi Kabbalah, and maybe from the earlier times, we find all brought down in many Svarim, that there are 36 Mesechtas in Shas. What that means exactly is hard to understand, because we have many more. We don't have exactly the breakup that it was maybe originally, I'm not so sure, but it's brought down in many Svarim, there are 36 Lamed Vav Mesechtas. So the letter Hey represents, if you look at it b'milo in all of its ways that you can understand it, the 36 Mesechtos, Behei Baram. Yes, Behei Baram, as Rashi says, if we fall, it's tshuva that we can get back up. But Alavai, the Hey also represents the way not to ever fall through the Lamiva Mesechtos, through the Oisek B'Torah Shema Peh. The Lamed Vav also represents the 36 hours that the Ar HaGanuz was in this world. which is Keneged, the next Yontif, we're already starting on some levels of repair for the Yontif of Chanukah, which has 36 candles without the Shamashim. Keneged those 36 hours of the Or HaGanus. And what does the Medrash Tanchuma in that same Ois Gimel and Noach tell us? Who's Zoicha to that Or? Or Gadol, Or should never be Amrishon, Chignazo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu puts in the Gneza, and who's Zoicha to that Or? La Amole Torah Shvapeh. Beyom uvalayla, shebeschusam ha'olam omer. Those who are amal betorish ma'ped day and night, because in their schus, the world stands. And those who are amal betorah, amelis betorah. Some people, they're gonna hear a shir like this and be like, I don't want to listen to that guy again. I want to hear sweet, nice things. I want to hear, yeah, it's nice, the shiurim to talk about ichveznish, loving Hashem, and the shiurim to talk about putting our heart into mitzvahs a little bit, and the shiurim, maybe, you know, shiurim to talk about ben al machavero. Come on, Rabbi, I learn a little bit, I daven 3 times a day, I mean, I'm all good, right? I wear tittis, I put on tefillin, my wife covers her hair, it's all good. Teretz is no. Amelus b'Torah is keeping the world going. Amelus b'Torah is what keeps away the Yetzer Hara. Oisik b'Torah. We all felt the need, and our parents felt the need, to send us to yeshiva, to send us to Eretz Yisrael, to be in yeshiva, to be amel b'Torah. That ends, oh, that's only for 3 years of your life. For 2 years of your life. For 4 years of your life. Then the rest of life, you don't need to be amel b'Torah. Then you just got to be a nice Jew. Shem Yerachim. Our whole life we should be growing. For Amal B'Torah now, even more so. Amelus B'Torah. We'll have the Or HaGonus with us every moment. The clarity of life. The Simcha Zachayim. And we'll ensure that the Yetzer Hara never gets us. So we don't even need the second part of the pasuk. We don't even need the disobedience of the ground. Because we have the Kal V'Chomer. Amelus B'Torah. Just to end with a story. Story brought down in the book about Rebbetzin Kanievsky. It's about her father, the Heilig Tzaddik, the Gaon Rav Eliashiv Zatzal. Before the 1996 Israeli elections, Rav Eliashiv went to several rallies on behalf of the joint Degel HaTorah Agudas Yisrael party. His Rav Shach was too ill to advise the parties. Rav Eliashiv spent a great deal of time ensuring that the Bnei Torah who lived in Eretz Yisrael would vote so that Torah interests would be represented in the Knesset. On election night, Rabbi Yashiv went to sleep at his regular time. Whatever time that was, it was prior to the outcome of the elections. When he woke up before 3 a.m., the grandson who stayed in his house at night rushed to his grandfather to inform him of the election results. Rabbi Yashiv put his hands over his ears. "I will discuss the election results later today," he said. "Now is the designated time for Torah study." He proceeded to take out his Gemara and learn until Nates. He found out only later in the day that the candidate he had backed for Prime Minister had won the election. The Tzaddik, the Gaon Rav Eliashiv, he understood what Amelus B'Torah was, learning 18 hours a day. But imagine you're someone, you felt the need to put in so much time and effort into ensuring that a particular Prime Minister would be elected. But ultimately, does it make a difference to know whether it happened or not? Then I put in my shtadl, it's finished. Now's my time to still learn. When I'm sitting and learning, nothing else matters. It doesn't matter that I put hours and hours of my life and Mesiras Nefesh into that. Now's my time to learn. There's nothing else that exists. That's Amelus B'Torah. Amelus B'Torah is not just in the amount of time I learn. Really, I should put in tons of time. It means when I'm there, I'm in it 100%. I'm putting my all, I'm putting my heart and soul into my learning. I'm trying and studying, and nothing else exists. You can't have a Amelus B'Torah if your phone is on in your pocket, I'll tell you that much. It just doesn't exist. Because if my phone is on in my pocket while I'm learning, I feel the buzzing, even if I don't check, I feel it, this text, that, this beeping, this WhatsApp, I don't even know what's going on. A bachur in yeshiva, someone, unless your wife's in the 9th month pregnant, there's no reason to ever have a phone on in your pocket when you're sitting and learning Torah. If Rav Eliashiv didn't need to know the election results that he put time and effort into, because it's time to learn Torah. We have to know if there's a sports update or some text, any text that anyone could send me, any what it could wait. Now is my time to sit and learn Torah. Amelus B'Torah. If I'm omel b'torah, it means I have to fully be in it. If I have my phone in my pocket, I'm not fully in it. I'm in six different places at once. I'm meilus b'torah. The Or HaGan is given l'omel Torah. As we enter into a new year, it's a new zman of yeshiva. Every one of us should recognize that and realize that whatever point of our life we're in, whether we're still officially in yeshiva or not officially in yeshiva, whether we're in a place that's both Lamudei Kodesh and Lamudei Chol or Kula Lamudei Kodesh, whether I'm even out of those yeshiva world and I'm making my own yeshivas, it's a new zman. This is new zman of the yeshiva world. New zman of Yitzchadshus B'Torah. Let's decide we're going to have more amils b'torah. What does that mean? Put in more time in my day figuring out. Whether it means within my siddurim that I'm going to work harder, I'm not going to have my cell phone with me, I'm not going to have distractions that I used to have. Whatever it might be, recognize amils b'torah is the key to my success as a ben Torah, as a Talmud Chacham, as an Eved Hashem, as an Er L'Chayyid. Bez Hashem, we shall be zaycha amils b'torah. Tzchus of amils Torah will bring the Arganas back into the world. The Arganas will be back in the world like it was originally. Bizeicha to the aura for the entire world, the aura of Mashiach Lekeinu b'mehera v'yamein.